Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church as we begin now our green and growing season after Pentecost. We have been through Advent and Christmas. We have been through that brief time after the Epiphany. We've been through Lent and Easter with Pentecost and Trinity Sunday. And now we come to this time where we get to ponder how Jesus inspires our lives. It is good for us to be together. I'm so happy that you are here. I'm glad that you're with us if you're joining us online as well. I want to make sure I say thank you to the Parish Life Committee for donuts last week. If you enjoyed them, you were wise. And if not, there may be other chances, all right? There may be other chances, but thank you. And thank you if you stayed and had conversation and enjoyed one another's company. We've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship together. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, Everlasting God. Let us rise and sing together.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not think the defender of the weak. You comfort those who weep. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord our God.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the source of life and the ground of our being. By the power of your Spirit, bring healing to this wounded world and raise us to new life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 15. And on in chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord. For it is he who has torn, and he will heal us. He has struck down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Forum? What shall I do with you, O Judea? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them by prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his two descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there a violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For is he the father of all of us, as is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God, in whom he believed, gives life to the dead, and calls to existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words was reckoned to him was written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raises Jesus our Lord from the dead, who is handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 9th chapter. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as Jesus sat down at dinner in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she had said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowds making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowds had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Brad was pulling into the driveway at home at the same time that his son Mike was walking up towards the front door of the house after school. Mike looked happy. Now, Brad didn't know why, but he had a couple of guesses. First of all, there was only 2 more weeks of school that year, and anyone finishing the 7th grade were really glad to be done with that. It was also just a really beautiful day, and that could have had something to do with it. Now, Brad didn't know why Mike was happy, but he was curious. He wanted to know. So through his window, he called out, "Hi, Mike. You look extremely happy today. Any particular reason for that?" "Hi, Dad," Mike smiled. Yeah, lots of reasons. And he walked into the house. As Brad got into the house, he called out, well, come on then, spill it. What are all of these lots of reasons you have to be happy? Mike looks at him and says, Dad, I'm thirsty and, as you say, a bit peckish, so can I have a minute? I promise I'll tell you. All right, Brad laughed, as long as you don't eat all the cookies. Mike looked back at him with this sort of fake, sullen expression, I promise I won't. There we are. And they both went off to take care of some things. Mike went straight to the cupboards and to the refrigerator, and Brad went to go change out of his black shirt and collar because he had been at the hospital that morning. When Brad got back to the kitchen area, Mike had a big glass of milk and a handful of fudge-striped cookies with one already in his mouth. Brad quickly grabbed one of those cookies and he said, I just need the one, and it looks as if that might be my only chance. Now, Mike's mouth was full of cookie, and so his mumbled response could have either been, that's all right, Father, please take as many as you like, or, what do you think you're doing stealing all of my cookies? The way his eyes looked were more latter than it was former. Brad got himself a glass of lemonade and then beckoned his son to follow him out onto the back deck. As they found chairs, Brad made a move to grab another cookie, and Mike was like, hey, get off. Brad laughed, threw up his hands in surrender, and he says, okay, so what's up, Happy Pants? Well, if you must know, Mike said, it's a beautiful day. Brad is going, okay, check. I have only one more Monday left this school year. Another check. I have no more Phi Ed classes this school year. Now, Brad hadn't known that, and that would have been a big check for him as well. And then Mike continued and said, and at Phi Ed today, we had a great day. And my team got absolutely cream in kickball. Brad looked up at that, kind of amazed at how his son was just beaming. I have never seen you or anyone else on the planet ever seem to be so happy to have gotten beat in a gym class game of kickball. What happened? Brad asked. We had a double Phi Ed this morning. It's the week for tests in the other classes, and then next week, Mr. Chrisman, the Phi Ed teacher, is going to be doing field days for the elementary school. And so we had a double period, and Mr. Chrisman said we could play kickball. We hadn't done that all year, and it's been a long time, and it sounded fun. Then Mr. Chrisman chose me and Gail to be captains so we could pick the teams, and I said, ladies first. And so Gail chose Randy right away. Dad, I think you know Randy. He's the tallest kid in the seventh grade with great hair, perfect teeth, and he's good at anything athletic. Him and Joe, Finn, and Eli, they're the sport guys in my grade. So when Gail immediately went to getting all of the winners for her team, I got a whole other idea. I picked Logan. Logan is the MH kid who comes to our Phi Ed class. Hardly anyone ever talks to him, let alone knows his name. He's mostly ignored and forgotten. And you should have seen him light up when I named him first. He ran over to me and he gave me this really awkward high five that was more elbows than hands. And that's when I started to get really happy today. Gail went on picking all of the athletes and all of her friends. Next, I chose Shelley. Dad, she's always chosen last. I mean, even more than Logan is. She wears really thick glasses. Her clothes aren't always new or whatever the latest fashion the rest of the girls are wearing. She reads a lot, and I like talking to her. So I chose her and asked her to pitch. And so when she came up, we kind of redid the whole awkward elbows high five thing just to have fun. Dad, you know that I am very typically and safely in the middle of any of those team choices in gym class. But I know who gets chosen after me. And so that's who I was choosing to begin with. Well, I chose Bernie too, because he is my best friend after all. We were all doing the awkward elbows, and when we started to play, we just let anyone play wherever they wanted to play. I wasn't in this one to win. This was for fun for everybody. Shelly really can pitch, by the way. She does something with the ball that gave Finn fits. Now, he's really good at soccer. And he walks with a kind of a swagger that both impresses me and irritates me. I wish I could be a bit more confident like that sometimes, but Shelley struck Finn out three times in kickball. There were lots of elbows and smiles. Dad, they creamed us. We scored maybe 8 or 10 runs. They had more than 30. It wasn't even close, but we had fun. When anyone made a good play, it was all awkward elbows and smiles all around. I don't think I've ever had more fun in a Phi Ed class in my life. And I know that there was never a time that I was on a winning team that will mean more to me than this time did. Oh, and then at lunch afterwards, Logan was smiling and telling the people in his class all about it, and then smiled and waved at me when he saw me go by. Shelley came, and she said thanks in her usual quiet way, but you could see the big smile on her face, too. Gail and her team were really good about it, actually, when they saw what was really going on. It was a great way to end Phi Ed this year, I'll tell you that. Mike then took a big drink of milk and popped another whole cookie into his mouth. Brad looked at him with a smile, and he said, I'm proud of you, son. Now, I know that that's not why you did it, but that's what makes me even prouder. Sounds like you did have a really great day. Way to go. It also sounds like you helped some other people have a really good day also, and that is what's truly great. Back in my day, it was Keith and Greg and Todd and Robbie. They were the ones who kept their coordination all through puberty. They could dribble balls and not just down their shirt. Everyone wanted to either choose them or be chosen by them. It didn't happen to me a lot, but when it did, I kind of felt lighter than air. I never had the guts to do what you did today, Mike. Like everyone else, I just kept to those same prejudices, those same standards, those same rules almost any time I was a captain. I wish I could have done what you did. Too often, the world has a standard that we all seem to think that we have to use for things like choosing teams and all of that. It's all about winning or who's cute or popular or some other such thing. And most of the time, all of us fall right into that same set of standards, that same criteria, even if we don't really fit into it completely ourselves. Random choice gives us the opportunity to choose a team, and we choose just like everybody else. But you didn't. Jesus didn't either. That's when Mike rolled his eyes as he was finishing his milk. And Brad smiled and said, I know. It's a professional habit. Jesus didn't use the same standards that the world around him wanted him to use. Jesus didn't choose Pharisees or rabbis to follow him. He chose fishermen, who were really only useful to most people when they wanted to go buy fish. Otherwise, they were a little rough and smelly. Jesus also chose tax collectors, who were definitely right off and out of any standards that people had for choosing. When Jesus chose Matthew, the tax collector, the Pharisees actually came and complained about his choice. You know, I just realized something, Mike. Every time I read about or think about those Pharisees in the New Testament, they look like Keith and Greg and Todd and Robbie. Those junior paragons of perfection have haunted me all these years. But Jesus was showing the Pharisees that God doesn't use the same standards that they use or the world uses, and that God loves all people, and especially those whom the world seems to toss away. Jesus even tells them that he's looking for the ones who are ill or sick, or the world thinks are ill and sick, because they're the ones who need the attention. The healthy ones don't need it as much. You see, Mike, we can all be lost and left out, and it is amazing to hear that not only does God look for us, God chooses us. Even all the people on the other team eventually got into the swing of things, by the way you were telling me the story. I mean, that's the best part, because God's love can inspire kindness and hope for all people. And the story of Jesus choosing Matthew and eating with the tax collectors and sinners, a synagogue official comes begging Jesus to touch his daughter who has just died. While going to help with that, Jesus is touched by a bleeding woman as well. These are all of the things that would drive the Pharisees crazy. Sinners, corpses, blood, children, girls, all of them were no-nos. And Jesus never missed a beat. Kindness moved him. Care for others moved him. God's love moved him. And I think that all of those moved you as well today. And Mike was about to argue that point when Brad continued, I know that that wasn't what you were thinking about at the time, but that is what I hope for all of us and for anyone who comes and listens to me at St. Mary's. I want us to lead with kindness, to lead with the care and love for one another that we see in Jesus. You helped people find some joy today from a place they were least expecting it, double Fayette. You helped people who were lost today. Now, tomorrow, many may go right on back to ignoring them and tossing them out, but I don't think that's going to happen for you. I hope it takes a little longer. Unfortunately, it can all come back or something like it because the devil, the world, and our sinful selves are too insidious to keep it away forever. But that's what we need Jesus for. So, to help you celebrate your happy day, what would you like for dinner? And they talked about that for a while. And the happy day continued. Jesus chooses the Father, the followers that the world around him least expects. Jesus chooses outcast ones and left out ones and the least likely characters because they need the attention and love. Now, it's true that we all need God's attention and love, and it does come to us all. But we need to remember that that includes people that we don't even like very much. Jesus goes to the aid of the leader of the synagogue to go help his daughter, who may have been dead. And while going, he speaks to and heals a bleeding woman, another person who had been rejected by the world around her. That's the power of God choosing to reach out to those lost and bereft. And that's the world that Jesus invites us into. That's the love that Jesus invites us to share. As children of God and as followers of Jesus, we are called to love our neighbors. Some of them we know and we like and we get along with. Some people are just in need of a smile and we may be their only hope today. But they may also be nothing like us. They may frighten us. We may not even recognize them at first. And yet we are still called to love our neighbors. Kindness and care, patience, peace, and generosity can all flow through us. And the kingdom of God is made more and more evident through us and through the things that we do inspired by Jesus' love. Today, we are reminded of the joy that comes to the world around us when we look beyond the exclusive standards that the world wants us to use, and we instead remember the all-encompassing love of God that flows to us and through us. Today, we are encouraged to discover a way to share all the smiles and awkward elbows that we can. Amen. Please rise. Let us celebrate our baptism as we confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. We pray, O God, for the Church. Unite us with any on the margins, that the whole world recognizes that your mercy is greater than our human capacity to restrict it. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, O God, for creation, tend forests and fields and safeguard all cattle, birds, and wild animals, preserve lakes, rivers, and oceans, and send rains to water the earth, revive lands recovering from natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, O God, for all nations. Awaken in all leaders compassion for people and inspire policy solutions that promote freedom for all. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, O God, for all who are in need. Accompany anyone enduring chronic illness, any who suffer in secret, and those grieving a loved one's death. Send healing for all who plead for relief from sickness or pain. We pray especially for these who are known to us and who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Sharla, Kristen, Nick, Judith, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks, O God, for Barnabas and all the saints. Renew our faith that you can do what you have promised and raise us with all our beloved dead to new life. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with lots of blessings and maybe just a little bit of rain. As we all go into the world with hope,
may God's vision
our mission. You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.